This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Now, Americans pay higher prescription drug costs than people in other countries, and many patients struggle to afford needed medicine. According to research from the RAND Corporation, prescription drug prices average about 2.5 times higher than the U.S. compared to other countries. The disparity is even bigger for brand name drugs, with Americans on average paying more than 3 times their peers abroad. A proposal in Congress aimed at tackling that problem would let Medicare negotiate with pharmaceutical companies for lower prescription drug costs. But some moderate Democrats have said they won't support it. It's unclear whether it would have the votes to pass. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have to pay for expensive prescriptions? If so, how have those expenses affected your life? Do you think we should let the government via Medicare negotiate for lower prescription drug costs? Or are there other ways you think that would work better to lower the cost of drugs? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Philip Rocco is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. He's author of the book Obamacare Wars, Federalism, State Politics, and the Affordable Care Act. Phil, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back, Rob.
Let's get the details here. There's this H.R. 3, this law being proposed by Democrats in the House. What would it do when it comes to prescription drugs?
So H.R. 3 essentially tells the Secretary of Health and Human Services that every year they have to negotiate the price of at least 25 and up to 250 of the brand name drugs with the greatest costs to Medicare. And essentially, the tool that it gives the federal government is that if the drug companies that manufacture those drugs don't actually accept the fair price that comes out of those negotiations, they're going to be hit with a 65% excise tax, which will ramp up every 10 months or so to 95%. So it actually uses the power of the federal government to try to get a better price for these drugs. And just to put that in context, the range of comparisons can go from the United States paying double the price of a drug that people in Europe pay up to 10 times the amount. The other thing that the proposal does is for Medicare beneficiaries, it caps their out-of-pocket spending. Right now, it's about $5,100, I think, before you hit that cap. Now it caps out-of-pocket spending at about $2,000 for those drugs. So, but I think the big innovation here, and obviously I think what the big controversy is over, is the federal government directly negotiating those prices with drug companies themselves.
And for someone listening who says, wait a minute, I'm through private insurance or I got no insurance, I'm paying for drugs out of pocket, do these Medicare negotiations affect them at all?
Yeah, I think it's really worth thinking about the knock-on effects that this has. Once Medicare starts negotiating these prices, other payers are going to take signals from that negotiation. Even if you're not on Medicare, this is going to have an effect on the prices that you pay for your prescriptions if you have prescriptions that are in the set of prescriptions that are being negotiated on.
Now, I've been hearing about this idea for a long time, Phil. And candidate Trump, ran saying, yeah, I'm going to try to allow negotiations. We've heard it from him, from a lot of Democrats. Why has it been such a heavy lift, given that there's some support, at least from both parties?
Yeah, I think this is a fascinating thing. And when you poll on this, you get really broad agreement of a kind that you, in our quote-unquote, very polarized society, a level of agreement that you almost never see on issues of public policy, like north of 80%, regardless of how you phrase the proposal on negotiating prescription drug prices. Republicans like it, Democrats like it. It's sort of a majoritarian policy. But if you want to think all the way back, right, back in 2003, 2004, when Congress was debating Medicare Part D. This was actually on the table then, too. But it is part of this sort of the details of policy that the major sort of public support doesn't necessarily always get behind. And in fact, the most mobilized participants in politics are drug companies themselves and pharma. So unless you have a lot of public support sort of on the back of this, it's not going to get through. And that's really what happens. Medicare Part D passes. You actually you know, create a new benefit. And some of the heat is taken off of the federal government for doing something like this. There's you know, people support it, but there's not a lot of heat in doing it. And you saw the same thing happen during the negotiations over Obamacare, where the really the pivotal player was pharma's lobbyist who had been a member of Congress, and it sort of stripped out of the provision there too. What's changed now, I think, because bills have been introduced since Obamacare passed doing this, and you know they're routinely passed every session. I think the thing that's changed is, first, just how much drug prices have increased. Insulin costs doubled per patient between 2012 and 2016. And the other thing is there are a lot of other solutions in place. So the people who are mostly directly affected by this are harder to buy off, harder to satisfy. And so now what you see is actually this huge contest. Well, whereas, you know, before it had really been pharma as the most mobilized participant in the political process. And now you have a large number of sort of other constituency groups, AARP, Indivisible, Protect Our Care. These sort of public interest groups are involved now in a way I think that they haven't been in the past. And you have the Democratic Party leadership itself saying, we're not only going to push for this regulation, but this regulation is going to be essential at providing savings to the federal government that we're going to use to offset the cost of other things we want to do, like expanding vision, dental, and other benefits within Medicare.
We're talking to Phil Rocco, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University, with us today to talk about proposals in Congress to let Medicare negotiate lower prescription drug costs. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our look at a debate among Democrats in Congress over whether to let Medicare negotiate prescription drug costs. Phil Rocco stays with us from Marquette University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Phil, the argument from the pharmaceutical companies and their lobby is, hey, if we're not making this kind of premium on these drugs, it's going to hurt our ability to do research on new cancer drugs, on things like COVID vaccines, and to pay people to do this kind of research and provide jobs here in the U.S. How much is there to that, do you think?
Well, I mean, here's the way of thinking about it. Public policy is about trade-offs, right? There are obviously trade-offs with all sort of policies that we involve ourselves in. And to the degree that they're, you know, three-fourths of the investment in prescription drug manufacturing is coming from the private sector. Clearly, having a negotiation process where it's going to squeeze their profits, it's going to have some effect on what gets produced, right? The couple things to think about on that score is, the first is what we know or what we can estimate is that some number of drugs will not be produced over that term. But one of the challenges here is that the data that we have on that sort of thing only comes from the industry itself. And there is a tendency, I think, in some of this research to sort of overemphasize the amount of investment that goes actually to the discovery process as opposed to marketing and sort of advertising. The other thing to think about is that we know, or at least have estimates of or projections of, the number of drugs that might not be developed over the next decade or so. But we don't know what their value is, and I think that that's really the argument that, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is trying to sell people on, is that really important discoveries are going to be missed out on. Whether or not that's going to play in the same way that it has in the past, given the cost that people are experiencing at their pharmacist counter, you know, seems doubtful. What it does seem likely is that it is having an effect on what a few key Democrats' positions have been on this. Scott Peters, Kurt Schrader, Kathleen Rice were sort of three pivotal votes on this Energy and Commerce Committee that voted down the proposal. Now, that doesn't really matter in the context of the committee, because Democrats can reinsert the provision as a manager's amendment in the budget committee. So it doesn't really matter there. But the math in Congress is tight for Democrats on the House side. they essentially can afford to lose three votes on the overall package. And that means that they're going to have to do a little bit of persuading. Probably at least two of those three are going to vote in the end for whatever package comes out. Peters and Rice will probably vote for it. Kurt Schrader and one other Democrat, Stephanie Murphy, have signaled that they're probably not going to vote for the overall package. So there's still some, you know, whip operation stuff that Democrats will have to do to get this over the line. I think the line that or the phrase that's often used to describe it is herding cats.
So we're going to call her now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hello, gentlemen. I would encourage you not to look at the shell game that's occurring between our government and the pharmaceutical industry, because they are guaranteeing contracts for research and development of new drugs, which we don't even know yet. So if they're taking a loss in one direction, they're getting the pharmaceutical industry is getting – Pfizer is going to get $33 billion in profit this year. So don't be concerned about – what we're really seeing here is a policy of devaluing the dollar. Everything the Biden administration does is weakening our country and weakening our economy and weakening the value of the dollar in order to keep, you know, his friends rich and other people as well. It's all about a global attempt to create a one-world government.
Okay, we're getting into weird conspiracy theory territory there, Jeff. But just first point, the government does fund a lot of this kind of research. There is something to that, right, Phil?
Well, I think this is the thing where the projections about the loss of innovation are always interesting to me. And the question that always comes up for me anyway in looking at this, and again, I'm a political scientist. I look at the negotiations of this in Congress. I'm not a pharmacological researcher, so, you know, take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. But I think the thing that's fascinating to me is if there is a loss in innovation, one of the implicit assumptions of the models that we see is that no one – including the federal government, which has a massive level of investment in drug innovation right now through the NIH, would step in to fill the void. And that seems a little implausible to me. It seems a little implausible that we would not use mechanisms that we already have, like prize competitions, to do some of that work. I think that, like, holding constant the idea that no one would step in to fill in the gap seems a little implausible to me.
Phil, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
That was Phil Rocco. He's an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. He joined us today to talk about the uncertain future of a proposal in Congress to let Medicare negotiate prescription drug prices.